relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Seeing things you people wouldn't believe.
You want to talk to God? Let's go see him together.
I'm a friend of Sarah Connor. I was told that she's here. Could I see her, please?
No, can't see her. She's making a statement.
Where is she?
Look, it may take a while. You want to wait? There's a bench over there.
I'll be back.
He promised he'd be back, and he came back in a line that was originally, Schwarzenegger said, I can't say, I'll be back. I don't know how to say that. I want to say, I will be back. Cameron said, just say the dang lines. It had to happen sooner or later. My co-host, he gets a twofer this week and next week. It's T1, it's T2. Let's ask him why. He is the host of the Mr. Reagan and the Alpha Critic channels, Chris Coles. It had to happen sooner or later. We had to have Arnie on deck. But tell us why you chose this double bill.
Well, you know, this is iconic American cinema. These are these films, to some degree, solidified what an action film would be. Not exclusively. It wasn't exclusively these films. And this early Terminator, the first film, which we're about to watch, is maybe more of a horror film than an action film.
Right.
But there are a lot of action-y sequences, a lot of guns, a lot of shooting and running around and car chases and all this kind of thing. And, you know, it's just an iconic it became, what, probably a multi-billion dollar enterprise, this Terminator thing. One of the best stories in cinema, been copied a million times now, to the point where a lot of the stuff in this first film probably seems cliche to people, but it originated a lot of these ideas.
Yeah, this is, you know, a multi-billion dollar franchise. Now, on the way to work today, I was thinking, of all the roles, I mean, we've already reviewed Conan the Barbarian. I know we'll do other Arnie movies. I love Commando and all of that stuff. But this is, tell me if you think I'm wrong. If you think Arnold Schwarzenegger, the first thing that comes to mind is this movie, no?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He is the Terminator. What's interesting is that, from what I understand, he did not think this film was going to be any good.
No, he had real, real reservations. And originally, they thought that he should play Kyle Reese. They wanted Lance Henriksen, who must weigh like 150 pounds, to be the Terminator. The original script was this gray person, this person who comes from the future, this cyborg, who nobody notices is the perfect killer. Well, you know, I think Arnie's 6'4", you know, 260 pounds, doesn't exactly melt into the background.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, they were able to implement that concept in the second film. which we'll get to eventually. But yeah, and it does work. I mean, the actor that they hired for the second film is unbelievably creepy and terrifying. But in this original film, yeah, I mean, you know, to solidify this film as a success, because it was a very low budget film.
Do you know what the original budget? Not what they eventually spent. Do you know what this is the first real movie that James Cameron made. He'd just been fired off Piranha 2. Piranha 2, okay? He was a model maker, okay? He was not a B movie, a C movie model maker. He makes Piranha 2, gets fired off it twice. This is his first real movie as director. Chris, they gave him $2.5 million.
Yeah. I mean, in 1984, that was probably a little bit more than what we think of it now. But still, for a big budget movie or for a special effects movie, it's nothing.
Right. Eventually, they spent, I think, $6.5 million, and then they made. Hang on, I got to go. We usually do this at the end, but we're already here. Let's go to the made $78 million on $6 million invested. Pretty good, Chris. Pretty good.
Unbelievable, really. Mad Max, you know, the movie that we were a bit disappointed in because it doesn't really hold up, did something similar, which was very impressive, and obviously that's why that movie got sequels and became this big franchise as well. But with this film, there are things. I mean, if you watch it back, there are things that definitely do not hold up. There are, because this is a special effects movie.
Yes.
And it was creating some special effects that maybe didn't exist before. There were some things that were, I would say, inspired by other films and other projects. There's a moment where he rips open his own arm and he's fixing his own arm. That, to me, was very reminiscent of Star Wars and Luke Skywalker. I feel like Kyle Reese is a sort of weathered, messed up Luke Skywalker. I mean, his voice is very Luke Skywalker-esque. He seems young. He seems like he's got he's very almost enthusiastic about what he has to do. And so I don't know if James Cameron was inspired by Star Wars or not, but I got a little bit of a hint of that.
What doesn't stand out for you? I mean, yes, this is an effects heavy movie. It had one of the greatest names. They wanted Rob Bottin originally, the creature guy from The Thing. He was busy. They brought in Stan Winston, his puppeteers, the design of the Terminator, amazing. But I'm curious, I know what doesn't hold up for me. What doesn't hold up for you?
Well, let me just say first, you sort of briefly mentioned the design of the Terminator. That needs to be more than briefly mentioned.
Yeah,
this is one
ahead.
Of the most iconic designs, one of the most beautiful, amazing designs ever created in the history of cinema. That is just an absolutely beautiful, iconic, the metal skeleton, just one of the most impressive things. I think probably one of the reasons why this movie did so well is just the design of that skeleton. So terrifying, so cool looking, so well crafted. If you look at the details, just so brilliant. But I will say there's two main things that don't hold up for me. The mask early in the movie, well, about probably in the middle of the movie, when the Terminator first gets his face messed up and he's doing eye surgery, and you see this, the glowing eye for the first time.
Right,
he's looking in the mirror.
When he's in the motel room doing surgery on himself.
Mm-hmm, you're right. They used a prosthetic, like a head,
yes,
like a fake head. And it really looks fake. It looks it really takes you out of the movie instantly.
But it's not awful. You know it's not Arnold, and you know they worked months on it. But but you know it's a special effect.
Maybe in real life it looks more impressive, but when you're watching the film, you have to try hard to pretend that's a real head. And then later on, in these scenes, with the stop motion,
yes,
the stop motion kind of took me out of it. You're not used to stop motion anymore. Back in those days,
right.
But even when I was a kid, I remember a stop motion movie I might like. I might like a movie that was created with stop motion, like Nightmare Before Christmas or something like that, where the whole thing's stop motion.
Or Sinbad.
I never saw that, but okay.
Okay.
But this kind of serious film where you just throw stop motion into it,
yeah,
it's such a jarring difference from the smooth motion. that it just takes you out of it.
I'm a big fan of the master of stop motion, Ray Harryhausen, the guy who did the original Clash of the Titans, all of the original stop motion movies. I've met him. I met him before he passed at the British Film Institute. So it doesn't really take me out of it that much. It does jar. We have the images of the puppets. They made a one-on-one puppet of the Terminator, and they had a guy underneath actually moving the torso. So that's a one-on-one. And they made a full-size 250-pound animatronic one as well. Those are good. So when they replace it with the stop motion, yeah, it's jarring. For me, you know what's jarring? When the truck explodes, when the oil tanker explodes, and it suddenly goes to this model of an oil tanker with a cardboard front with no headlights, and you go, dude, I can see that's a cardboard cab. Why are you blowing this thing up 12 times in slow motion and making it look even worse? But stop it! It's a great movie. We shall celebrate its greatness. We are making movies great again with the Terminator and my co-host. He's not the Terminator, but he's got a cool leather jacket. He's Chris Coles. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is Making Movies Great Again. Make sure you are subscribed. Go to your favorite podcast platform, whichever it is. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a 5-star review and share the links with your friends, because more fun for more people. It's one of the most beautiful things you can do today or any day. Remember what Jesus our Savior told us. Come unto me, the little ones. Better a millstone were wrapped around the neck of someone who harms a child. Well, let's help those who are most vulnerable. Over 1 million girls and boys in America have a parent behind bars. They are vulnerable. They feel guilt for the sins of their parents. Let's get them to a safe place this summer with the Prison Fellowship. It is called the Angel Tree Camp. $200 per child provides them a Christ-centric safe summer camp. That could be you. Donate as little or as much as you can. Go right now to sebgorka.com and click on the Angel Tree banner at the top. You could be literally saving a life. You can call in your donation as well on 888-206-2794. That's 888-206-2794, or just go to sebgorka.com and the Angel Tree banner.
Are you saying it's from the future?
One possible future. From your point of view, I don't know tech stuff.
Then you're from the future too, is that right?
Right.
Right.
Cyborgs don't feel pain. I do. Don't do that again.
Just let me go.
Listen and understand. That Terminator is out there. It can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity or remorse or fear. And it absolutely will not stop. Ever. Until you are dead.
One of the great speeches from The Terminator. We are unpacking it. We're making movies great again. But let me stop for a moment to thank all of you who have supported our Angel Tree Camp campaign. This is with the late Chuck Colson's incredible Prison Fellowship. We take children to a Christ-centric summer camp who have lost a mother or father to the prison system. There's more than 1 million of these children in America. Let's get as many as possible to this safe summer camp. This costs $200 per child. Give whatever you can. Give as much as you can. Donate today. Call the Prison Fellowship on 888-206-2794. Or just go to my website. It's a couple of clicks. It's super easy. Please go to sebgorka.com and click on the Angel Tree banner at the top. That number again, 888-206-2794. Or just go to sebgorka, sebgorka.com, and the Angel Tree banner. Chris, for all the stop motion or the wonky explosions of fake trucks, I have to say, one of the things about this movie, and Eric mentioned it, he rewatched it first before I did. And when I sat down to watch it last night, I tested it. This is an unrelenting movie. I mean, there's no padding. There's no downtime where you go, oh, I'm going to go and get a coffee, right? No. This is an hour 40 of pumping action. And I got to say, Kyle Reese, you know, Michael Biehn, Linda Hamilton, they sell this. I mean, there's so many scenes inside the car, very tight angles where they're just talking to each other. And you believe this guy's on a mission and he wants to save the world. And you believe that this woman doesn't believe anything about it and she's petrified. Pretty good performances.
Oh, fantastic performances. And just a very clever concept. Just a really good idea for a story. I think this is one thing that really distinguishes like an 80s film from a film today. Today we'll make a Terminator film, but it will be basking in the reflected glow of the genius of the original. You know, they don't really make films this brilliant anymore. We have to get, you know, Squid Game from Korea now, because in Hollywood they're not doing anything like this. And but it's such a great idea. It's such a great concept. And people say, okay, well, it was stolen from The Outer Limits or whatever, this concept of two guys coming from the future to fight it out.
That's what Harlan Ellison says. But Harlan Ellison was known for suing people for allegedly stealing his IP. So he's got a bit of a rap.
Well, apparently Cameron did work on Outer Limits. So he was familiar with this show. We know that. And there was an episode where two people from the future come back in time, two soldiers come back in time and have to fight it out today. And it is a kind of a similar story, although this is different enough where I wouldn't say it was a copy. You have lots of, you know, you could say every action film copies from every other action film in a way. So I don't know how much I would say it was ripped off. But there are little things, there are little details of the film that feel like, you know, maybe they were inspired by other things. But in general, I feel like a very original concept, a really original script, and then performed, like you said, in a way that really sells it. You believe what's going on, even though it's this like completely crazy situation. And what an interesting world to think about, especially today, since you know, we're a little bit worried about AI destroying our civilization.
We're going to get to that. I want to ask you about the message about Skynet and IA. We'll conclude with that discussion. But yes, let's go to the genesis. Harlan Ellison sued the makers. Cameron denied it from the get-go, because the genesis, according to James Cameron, was that, you know, he had been fired off Piranha 2. Right. Apologies. He's lying in a hotel room in Rome. And he wakes up from this fever dream. And the one thing he says, nightmares are the best. Who cares about nice dreams? Nightmares are the best for good ideas. And he wakes up from this nightmare. And the one thing he remembers is this half a robot, this top half of a cyborg coming out of a fire. And I've heard this so many times, Chris, in Hollywood, that somebody gets one idea, just a visual, and then they build the construct of a whole movie around it. And apparently Terminator is based upon this one image from James Cameron's nightmare.
Well, I think both can be true. It can be true that, you know, he thought, oh, this cyborg, what kind of a story can I create around this cyborg? And then maybe draws inspiration from here and there. I know that he took a lot of inspiration from the movie Halloween. Halloween had come out a few years before, and it was, you know, a massive hit. And it was this story of this unrelenting serial killer that would just try to murder you. No matter how many times you shot it, no matter how many times you knocked this guy down, he would get back up and he was like a juggernaut. He just kept walking slowly toward you until he got you and he killed you. And this has a very, very similar tone to Halloween. So it was a sort of slasher film with this sci-fi robot futuristic angle. And, you know, he took little bits and pieces of inspiration from here and there. I wouldn't say he copied directly from anything. Yeah. And to me, this is a very original idea, original concept. Cameron definitely needs to be respected for this as an original creator. But yeah, it's to me, this is what's lacking today. We just don't have the originality. that we used to have back then.
Yeah. Why do we have to wait for, you know, TV shows from Korea to bring us the new thing?
Yeah.
We're talking to Chris Coles. Follow him right now. Subscribe right now on YouTube to the Alpha Critic and the Mr. Reagan channel. Follow him at Mr. Reagan USA on Twitter. We, too, are on social media everywhere that matters. Just plug in Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on Twitter, Truth Social, Facebook, Parler, Instagram, Getter, Telegram. You can watch us on your TV. What a better way. I mean, there is no better way to review movies. Go through your Roku Fire Stick or other devices, or just get the Salem News Channel app. And for my exclusive content and access to me, go to my Substack, sebastiangorka.substack.com. And don't forget all the amazing America First gear. We need some movie gear. Yeah. Right now, hottest sellers are the I Stand With 45 Trump 2024 flag. We have the gender t-shirt. Yeah, don't be a science denier. A man's a man, a woman's a woman, XY and XX. Don't forget, it is LGBTQ month, and we are all LGBTQ here. All of us. Why? Because it stands for Let's Get Biden to Quit. Get your LGBTQ t-shirt or mug today. And don't forget, the Tucker t-shirt. They're trying to gag him. He is duct taped with the Fox News emblem on our t-shirt. Let Tucker speak. Get yours today. SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorka. SebGorkaStore.com. Did you notice in the State of the Union speech last month, Biden doubled down on his spending plans, adding even more to the federal deficit? That doesn't bode well for the value of your money. Sebastian Gorka here. Biden's disconnected view of the economy means there will be no meaningful steps taken to lessen inflation and lower interest rates. Your cash reserves and investments will be worth less. Which is why I recommend calling veteran-owned Midas Gold Group to look into safeguarding your wealth with the stability of gold while you still can. Gold traditionally holds its value when economies fail, guarding against the destruction of inflation and the ruin of a recession. Don't let Biden's misguided economy wipe you out. Talk with the good folks at Midas Gold Group. Go to MidasGoldGroup.com or call 855-322-GOLD. That's 855-322-GOLD. It's gold you can hold. MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD.
Dwarf gauge autoloader.
That's Italian. You can go pump or auto.
The 45 long slide with laser sighting.
These are brand new. We just got them in. That's a good gun. You just touch the trigger, the beam comes on, and you put the red dot where you want the bullet to go. You can't miss. Anything else?
Phased plasma rifle in the 40 watt range.
Hey, just what you see, pal.
The Uzi 9mm.
You know your weapons, buddy. Any one of these is ideal for home defense. So, which will it be?
All.
I may close early today. There's a 15-day wait on handguns, but the rifles you can take right now. You can't do that.
Wrong.
All right, we'll talk about those guns a little bit later. Some of my favorites as a child, as a teenager, that line, Uzi 9mm, was iconic. One of the most famous scenes from the movie, The Terminator. Chris, let's talk about the acting for a little bit. Let's talk about Arnie. He has, one of the reasons he wasn't sure about this role is, A, it's the first villain he played on a big, big movie. And number two, he had less than 100 words. In the whole movie, less than 100 words. But he nails it. I mean, iconic. Truly iconic.
Well, you know, the words that he does say mean a lot. And the fact that he's got this sort of robotic delivery, like everything that he says simply means what it means. Everything's very literal. Everything's very simple. The concept of and this is why the I'll Be Back scene is so iconic. I don't think people really today even really know why I'll Be Back is so famous. It's not because of the line, I'll be back. It's because it's this very simple line, I'll be back, like I'm going to go to the store and buy milk and I'll be back or whatever. But instead of I'm going to go to the store and buy milk, what he really means is I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to destroy the entrance to your police station. I'll be back. And so that the surprise of that moment, which, by the way, I think the headlights come on here and this guy sees the headlights and that's why he looks up. And then there's no headlights on in the car, which I just noticed when you were playing it back. I never noticed that before.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. He looks up for the headlights. There are no headlights. And then this obvious dummy gets crushed against the wall.
But it's, you know, but it's really this was sort of the beginning of the one-liners with this movie. And I think there's a missed opportunity there in that scene with all the guns, which is a brilliant scene. I mean, the concept of let me look at all these guns, and then he's got all the guns, just shoots the guy, right? Because he's a robot. Everything's efficient. He doesn't have money. He's not going to pay for it. Everything's efficient. And that's one of the things that makes him so unbelievably terrifying. You don't even need really the Reese speech, even though the Reese speech is excellent, and I wouldn't do without it in this film. You sort of need that to solidify in the minds of people exactly what the Terminator is. Everything that Reese is saying is backed up by what you see on the screen, this relentless push forward, no sympathy. He doesn't feel. He just kills. You see that every second on screen, every second Schwarzenegger's on screen. But in that moment, he just, you know, the guy says, you can't do that. And he goes, wrong, and shoots him. That could have been another one-liner iconic moment. I think wrong may have been the wrong line for that moment. But other than that, that scene is perfect. We could have had another one-liner in there, though, I think, maybe.
Yeah, he sells it. If you look at the police, the siege at the police station, apparently he trained for months in weapons handling, especially to fire ambidextrous. You see him walk down the corridor, and he's firing the assault rifle fully automatic in his right hand. He's got the, you know, 10-pound Spaz 12 in his left hand, and he's firing all of them simultaneously as he's walking. And it's not a stilted roboticism. It's a, as you said, a very functional, clean, tight roboticism. Whether he's talking or whether he's moving to kill other people, he really, really sells it. Let's just note here that before Arnold came on the scene, who they really didn't want, they wanted the gray man originally. Who did they want? They really wanted Lance Henriksen, who had worked with James Cameron. He plays one of the cynical detectives who gets killed in the police station. He'll come back in, you know, Aliens and so forth. But they also were in talks with Harrison Ford, who said no, Mel Gibson, Stallone, and the one that they were really interested in was O.J. Simpson as the Terminator. Okay? Yeah. O.J. Simpson. I'll just leave that out there. We are talking Making Movies Great Again with our buddy Chris Coles. He is the host of the Alpha Critic and the Mr. Reagan channel. We are coming to you from just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank, malodorous, noisome swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you have a cell phone, oh, I've got Arnold on my cell phone, but another movie. Please tell me it is not linked to the big cell phone providers because they're politically correct. They're woke. They hate America. They have literally given millions of dollars to organizations like Planned Parenthood and to gun control organizations. Go with the only Christian conservative cell phone company. It's the one I use. It's called Patriot Mobile. They have the same nationwide coverage, 4G, 5G. They have a performance guarantee and free activation if you use my name. Special additional discounts for veterans and first responders and a 100% U.S.-based customer support team that is superb. They also love America like you do. Why would you fund people who hate you and your values with every call you make, every text you send? That's insanity. Switch today like I did. I took all my family's lines over to Patriot Mobile. Call 878-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Gorka. That's 878-728-7468, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented the MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread, the MyPillow 2.0 is the softest and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For my exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 has a buy one, get one free offer with promo code Gorka. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square for the buy one, get one free offer, enter promo code Gorka or call 800-829-8468. That's code G-O-R-K-A. Go today.
Reese, why me? Why does it want me?
there was a nuclear war. A few years from now, all this, this whole place, everything, it's gone. Just gone.
The survivors. Here. There. Nobody even knew who started it. It was the machines,
It was the machine, Sarah. Another monologue from inside the car as they're trying to evade the Terminator and the police. That's Kyle Reese and that's Sarah Connor. Gotta go there. It's the machines. Where do you stand? I'm not convinced yet. I think there's a lot of exaggeration about AI is just around the corner. Although if Elon Musk is worried, I guess we should pay attention. It has become a theme, a meme, a trope for so many other movies. Where does Mr. Reagan stand on the danger of a real Skynet?
Well, you know, there was an author, I forget his name, a really famous science fiction author. He came up with the concept of like the cybernetic brain and everything like that.
I know who you mean. I think it was Gibson or something like the cyber noir. I know who you mean.
I don't remember what his name is. I have to look it up. But the this guy was asked, you know, why do you always write your androids to be docile and kind and good? You never write them to be like vicious, like the Terminator. And he says, well, it doesn't make any sense that they would be evil because they will always be programmed by a human.
Right.
And a human will always program them with these certain safety protocols. They will never be able to break their programming. That will never happen. Here's the problem. Here's why I think Elon Musk is concerned. His roommate is the guy that many years ago, I think it was his roommate or at least a good friend of his, is the guy that started ChatGPT and that whole AI thing, OpenAI, we call it, OpenAI.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk invested a lot of money in this, and he had a conversation with this guy once, and the guy said that he basically hated humanity and wanted to see humanity destroyed. He actually didn't care.
Hang on. The flatmate? The roommate?
I believe this is what I read.
Wow.
Yeah. This is the guy who started OpenAI. He doesn't care if humanity is killed off. He doesn't care if the AI takes over. He would think that this is a great advancement. It seems like he's bought into all this like environmentalist idea that the deer and the birds and the flowers are more important than
the
humans.
Yeah, we are the virus, right, Chris?
We are the virus, exactly. So AI could potentially be programmed initially without any of those safeguards. In fact, with the very opposite, with the idea that, like you said, humans are the virus. And if AI is programmed with that and does become powerful enough, yeah, we are in trouble. So it's not really the AI that we have to worry about. It's the people programming the AI that we have to worry about. And this future is possible with that in mind.
All right. Well, I know somebody who might write a script about that, about the evil big tech people who think we are the virus. I think you know who he is. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're making movies great again with a guy who's called the Alpha Critic. He's got the Mr. Reagan channel. We've talked about who could be the Terminator. Just for the record, Chris, I want to talk about the other individuals who are considered to play Sergeant Kyle Reese. So Kurt Russell. Okay, I get it. You know, a good version of Snake Plissken. I get it. Bruce Willis. Yeah, okay. Don't get this one. Christopher Reeve. No, I'm not sure about Christopher Reeve. And then probably the worst choice, they considered Sting, okay? We reviewed Dune. I'm not sure he had the acting chops in Dune. I'm not sure he ever had them stick to the guitar. But how about this one? One of my favorite actors in Hollywood, a former Marine, didn't get enough recognition as far as I'm concerned at the height of his career. Scott Glenn. Scott Glenn as Kyle Reese. That would also have been interesting.
Yeah, I actually am thinking of Kurt Russell. And, you know, one thing, Kurt Russell is just so charismatic. He's eminently watchable guy.
And a conservative. Reese, don't tell anybody. Shh, he's also a conservative.
or at least libertarian, something yes. along those lines. Kyle Reese, the way it's played in this film, he's actually probably the least watchable character of the three. Of the three main characters, you got the Terminator with Schwarzenegger, you got Linda Hamilton, right? Which is, it's really Linda Hamilton's story, really.
Yes.
Sarah Connor. And so it may be best that Kyle Reese is not the most charming person on screen that you want to watch all the time, because he does die at the end. He can't come back for the later films. I mean, I suppose it's Hollywood. Anything's possible. But, yeah, it's probably good that he takes a backseat to the other characters, plays it sort of in an understated, you know, messed up Luke Skywalker type way. But yeah, it would have been a different film. It would have been interesting to see somebody like Kurt Russell in there, or Bruce Willis, or somebody like that, which is more somebody that's much more watchable, somebody that takes up a lot more space in your mind whilst you're watching the show. But no, I think the way it was done, Michael Biehn did, I think, a absolutely perfect job with the character that he was supposed to play. It is sad in the end when he essentially sacrifices himself.
Yeah,
but it's a profound moment, and I think it makes the character, you know, a legend in a way. You know, people remember this movie and they remember him as this legendary character. So I think it really works, at least for this film. But it's a shame he couldn't come back for the later ones.
Yeah, I take your point. It's really not his story. And the way he plays it as this naive guy who's never had a girlfriend, come back from the future, fell in love with a photograph of the, you know, the freedom fighter's mother. Yeah, it's not his story. It's Linda's story. And, of course, the antagonist. Also, let's get a recognition for Paul Wingfield, a man who has been, you know, a supporting actor in so many classic 80s movies.
Yeah.
And the late, great Bill Paxton, the Mohican punk from the beginning, who we'll see in so many. I think we're going to have to review Twister. I love Twister. But, of course, a man who was a key individual from the Cameron movie Aliens. We're talking Making Movies Great Again. Chris's choice is the Terminator. I'm Sebastian Gorka. I'm coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else, do what I did more than 4.5 years ago. I had a low back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor, and 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 4.5 years later. That's how real this product is. Find out today how it could work for you. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Have you ever questioned the COVID-19 narrative? Is there more to the story? Well, the film The Real Anthony Fauci will leave you stunned. You don't have to agree with everything Robert Kennedy Jr. has ever said, but there are things in this movie that they just don't want you to know. And I thought I knew a thing or two about COVID-19 and Anthony Fauci, but what they have unearthed, especially his involvement in the reaction to the AIDS epidemic, will shock you. Are you ready to explore the truth? If so, go right now to TheRealAnthonyFauciMovie.com to watch the movie for free. That's TheRealAnthonyFauciMovie.com. You can also go to my website, SebGorka.com, and click on the banner for this movie that is a must-see. Do it today. SebGorka.com. SebGorka.com. All right, Chris, we may have an argument here. What is the most iconic line from the Terminator movie? Is it the, I'll be back? Or could it be Kyle Reese?
Come with me if you want to live.
Come with me if you want to live. That's a pretty good script line, isn't it, Chris?
Well, obviously, I'll be back is the more iconic line. But but I will say, come with me if you want to live. I feel a little bad for Michael Biehn because that line was sort of stolen by Arnie
yes.
in Terminator 2. They
yes.
gave it to him to repeat as a callback to the first movie. He right. steps out of this elevator.
Yeah.
Linda Hamilton is trying to escape from this asylum,
yep.
slides underneath him, trying to stop herself from running into the Terminator, terrified. She's seeing the Terminator. And he turns to her and he says, "Come with me if you want to live." And it took on a whole new life with Schwarzenegger taking.
Are you giving away spoilers to our next Making Movies Great Again, Chris Cole?
I might be. Yeah. But the problem is that line is no longer iconic from Terminator 1, even though originally it was, you know.
No, and it's kind of lost in all the malaise of that shootout in the disco. It's not delivered in a moment that is so iconic as that, you know, in the asylum when Arnie does it. I think you're right. All right, last few thoughts on the original Terminator. Got to give it, the car chases, absolutely. Some of the best filmed car chases, the way they are filmed from other vehicles. It's real guerrilla filming. In fact, in many, this is all filmed at night to save money. A lot of this was guerrilla filming with no permits, okay? The last scene in Mexico, she's driving away from the gas station. They were actually stopped by the police and they lied and they said, "This is a student video. We don't have any permits," and they were let off. But some of this stuff is just, it's really top notch. The scene through the tunnel, this one, you read my mind exactly, Eric. It's on a budget. This is amazing stuff, Chris.
I didn't realize this is the same tunnel again.
Yes. Yes.
Demolition Man. Third time.
And
this is the tunnel right next to where I live. I drive through this all the time. Well, yeah, look, this is, considering the budget, this is a phenomenally well-made film. It's a story that is a great story, and it's a difficult story to shoot, I would say, with all the action sequences and the sci-fi elements and special effects and everything like that. And for the difficulty, level of difficulty, the budget that they've done, it's actually amazing that they were able to tell a cohesive story. And it's not just a cohesive story. It's a very, very consistently well-told story from the beginning to the end. Now, with every monster movie, one of the big things about a monster movie, especially like something like Jaws or something like this, where you don't see the monster early on. I mean, you see Terminator, you see Schwarzenegger, you see that, you know, Schwarzenegger's got a great face, really.
Yeah.
You know, and so you got this iconic look with the sunglasses and the leather jacket and the motorcycle and the shotgun and all this kind of stuff. But
even if the tie-dye t-shirt is a little gay.
I never thought about that. It's such a dark movie. I never thought about that. But yeah, you're probably right. But then there's the moment where he's burned and you think that they've won.
Yes.
You think that they've won. But out of the ashes rises the skeletal form of the Terminator. And you realize, holy smokes, this thing is terrifying. And you don't
even
know.
Oh, and by the way, don't forget your thought. The production company wanted to cut. They wanted to end the movie when the truck exploded and pitch all of this. The factory, all of it, Chris.
Wow. No. You know, I'll tell you what. When you finally see Jaws in Jaws, it's terrifying because Jaws is actually scarier than what you imagine. Mm. And this is a very hard thing to do because the imagination is a very powerful thing. And so if you can make the audience imagine a creature or a villain that is utterly terrifying, and then you don't deliver on that, you show them something that's not quite as iconic or as terrifying as what they're imagining, then you've got a disappointing movie. This does just the opposite. You don't really know what the Terminator looks like inside. You know a little bit because you've seen, you know, its arm, you've seen the eye, you get these little hints. But then when you see the full skeleton, it's absolutely terrifying, beautifully constructed, and it totally delivers beyond anything that you expect. And really, really brilliant filmmaking. Again, like I said, from beginning to end, not every special effect holds up, but it is a brilliantly told story.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, final thoughts here. First, we're going to geek out on the guns, as I usually do. Let's talk about some of these iconic weapons. Of course, the Uzi, the 9mm, is legendary. But we have to talk about the laser-aimed 45, the main weapon he uses to assassinate all the Sarah O'Connors. It's actually an AMT hardballer long slide 45 that Surefire Laser Company was told to custom fit. That's a real laser, okay, that's on top of the 45. However, a little bit of cinematographic cheating. Show the next photograph of the 45. It's not self-powered because it was such a powerful laser. No. Hang on. This is interesting. This is the original drawing by James Cameron of the Terminator played by Lance Henriksen. Before wow. Arnie came on board, Cameron drew this to sell the picture. That's Lance Henriksen as the Terminator. But show the next photograph of the 45. The kit had to be, it was such a powerful laser, they had to have a cable going down the arm of Arnie's jacket, down his back to the batteries, and with his left hand, whenever he pulled the gun out, he had to switch on the laser. There's a little bit of movie magic going on there. So that is the 45 long slide with laser. But the most iconic gun in the movie that would turn up again and again and again in movies like Jurassic Park, well, I have one of them. It is the iconic Franchi Spaz 12 combat shotgun. If you remember the hunter from the first Jurassic Park who says, clever girl. Yes, there he is, Bob Peck. Amazing. This is an iconic piece of firearms history. Sadly, not made anymore, but if you can find one, they're rather pricey nowadays. I bought my first one back in the 1990s before they became super cool. So that's a little bit of gun geekery for you, the Spaz 12 and the AMT long slide. All right, last thing we have to do, because we don't get to choose a movie because you've already chose your double bill. We're going to do Terminator 2 next week.
Do you want to rate it before
yeah,
we choose?
Yeah, I am. We're going to have to rate it. So, you know, guys, T2 next week, they up the ante. They get a lot more money. It's good. Is it better? Well, there's only one way to find out. We're going to compare the ratings. Right. How many Spaz 12 shotguns do you give the original Terminator?
I got to say, the butt of that gun, I think that's why it's so iconic.
Oh, totally.
I mean, that is a beautiful. I think I've seen. I'm surprised you don't have the laser.
Like, you know, they don't make that laser anymore, and it was a one-off. They took it off a revolver. But today, as I was preparing for the show, I thought, I need me one of those. I need me one of those.
I can imagine you thought that. I've seen the mighty Sebastian Gorka's impressive gun collection. Let me tell you.
There might be a hole. There might be an AMT long slide hardballer hole in my collection. For the Spaz 12 stock, let's put it back on the screen, the full size.
Yeah, I think you have every other gun on the planet. So it's
The reason that stock is so funky, that hook on the end, was designed for the Italian prison service to be able to use the weapon single-handed. The hook turns to the right and acts as a like kind of cup under your forearm that allows you to fire this beast single-handed. Oh. Arnold didn't need that because he's Arnold, but that's why it looks so cool. Sure. All right, so that's the Spaz 12. It's iconic. How many Spaz 12s out of 10 do you give the Terminator, Chris?
Okay, well, I always rate this in how likely it is that people are going to
enjoy it now,
even right. if they haven't seen it or they don't know anything about it right. from the 80s. I got to say probably a 7. Because it suffers from a lot of the things that some of the other more iconic films do, which is that it established things that have now become cliche. They've become copied so much, they've become cliche. So people will see it now, and it takes a little bit of thinking to appreciate this film because you've got to remember that not a lot of these things existed before Terminator, the original Terminator film. Cameron invented a lot of this stuff. So we see it now. We think it's cliche. Well, not back then. This was mind-blowing for the people at the time. For people now, probably something like a – maybe even a 6, but I'll give it a 7.
You better give it a 7.
Your producer loved it, and he had never seen it. So
Eric,
I'm going to give it
– did you love it?
Oh, I love this movie, and I've seen it many times before, Mr. Reagan.
Oh, you have seen it. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I personally would give this a 9 if I had to give it a rating.
You would give it a 9.
Don't steal my thunder. People who work for me should not steal my thunder, Eric, because he rates it. Mr. Reagan, we have different rating systems. He rates it for what an audience today would think of it. He's giving it a 7. No comment. I rate it in the panoply of all movies. You know what? It's a classic, a true classic. I'm going to give it a 9, Chris.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
All right.
On a personal level, I appreciate it.
Good, good. Great choice, great choice. Question is, T2 is a great movie with Patrick playing the liquid T2. Is it better than the OG? Well, you'll just have to tune in next week. In the meantime, he's got a panoply of new videos. I just switch on YouTube and he's dropping another flipping video. Go to Mr. Reagan on YouTube. Follow him on the Alpha Critic as well. And check out Mr. Reagan USA on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to Making Movies Great Again. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, check out my store. Yeah. Go to SebGorkaStore.com for all the amazing America First merchandise, the I Stand With Trump flag, the FBI t-shirt. Chris has one. He loves it. It stands for Fascist Brew of Intimidation. SebGorkaStore.com. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head in a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Happy Friday. Welcome, dear friends. Greetings. This is America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. We're going to have an incredible show for you today. As we always do, especially because of the guests we have, we can get people like President Trump. We can get all kinds of individuals. But, Jeff, how many people from the Senate do we allow on the show?
I think two.
That's it, right? Out of 100.
Yes.
We like that new guy. What's his name? J.D., right?
J.D. Vance.
And who's the only other person we will allow on this show?
That would be the next guest.
Oh, you know. Okay. You've given it away. The only person we allow from the Senate outside of the new senator from Ohio is a person who we consider to be a citizen first and not a career politician. And that's why we love her. And so does Tennessee. Welcome, Senator Marsha Blackburn.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. And we are delighted to open the show with you today. No monologue, dear friends. We have a far more important guest than that. Senator Blackburn, first things first, I have to ask you, it passed the Senate as well, $4 trillion added to the almost $32 trillion of debt this nation has. Can you tell us the backstory and what your take is on the vote?
Yes, I can. First of all, I think it's important to say that no one wants this country to default. So that's important to note. Secondly, I think Speaker McCarthy deserves a lot of credit for getting something through the Senate and forcing Joe Biden to the negotiating table. So those things have to be said. With that said, what came out of the House, the negotiated bill, here's my concerns. Number one, it sets a date certain. You know, basically, the buzzer's going to sound on January 1st, 2025, and it doesn't set a dollar amount. So between now and then, they're going to be running up the score. You know, Sebastian, it's like that TV show where people get a grocery cart, they win the prize, mm-hmm. and they've got 2 minutes to fill up the cart with everything they can before the buzzer sounds. Well, what do? They go for the most expensive yeah. things first. And that is exactly what is going to happen. And they are going to spend like crazy. And we'll be able to watch them spend on all of these programs that are considered mandatory spending. Not that 15% of the budget that we look at as discretionary, but they're going to make things, more things, mandatory.
But this, so that, this key point, I mean, this is the most outrageous of all. The fact that this bill not only adds $4 trillion, but there'll be no debate for the next 2 years on a debt ceiling, which means as they come up to an election year, they can basically do what they wish, Senator.
Yes. See, this is my concern. And then it's at the end of Biden's administration. It is during the lame duck. So we are all going to have to be on guard and double check the Democrats and make certain they don't push things into the mandatory spending category. So item number one there. Second thing that was of concern to me was the lack of funding for the military. We are not even meeting the rate of inflation.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So we have to be sure we meet that rate of inflation. Biden wants to spend less. I didn't want to take his number on the military and you say, well, $850 billion, that's a lot. Well, during the Obama years, first during the Clinton years, and then during the Obama years, there was a reduction in military spending. And people say, well, we had the peace dividend during the Clinton years. And part of that is true. But yet you have to continue investing. And when you look at what is happening with Space Force, with hypersonics,
yeah.
When you look at the aggressiveness of China, the way they're building their blue water navy, we cannot sit around and wait to see what they're going to do. So, you know, I think that should concern us all. The other thing, the 87,000 IRS agents are there. They were able to pull the money on part of that, but they were not able to pull the money, all of the money. So we still have that hanging out there, and they're going to go after mom and pops and small businesses and people that make under $400,000 a year. And then the last thing is there is a provision in there. Section 263 of the bill deals with rescissions and the 1% across the board cut. But in Section 265, it gives the OMB director the authority to waive the caps.
Incredible. Absolutely
incredible. It's not Congress can waive the cap.
No.
It is a federal bureaucrat.
It's the federal bureaucrat that can do it.
Waive the caps and spend whatever they decide they want to spend. Those were the reasons I said, no, I'm going to vote no, because nobody needs to get the idea that everybody is good with this bill, because we are not good with some of the provisions that are set forth in this bill.
Well, God bless you. We're talking to Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, senior U.S. Senator, blackburn.senate.gov. Follow her at Marsha Blackburn. She's the author of The Mind of a Conservative Woman. Senator Blackburn, your team, this is why we love having you on the show, informed us of a story we weren't aware of concerning Obama's former chief of staff, McDonough. Could you tell us about this developing story?
Absolutely. You know, we were getting ready for a VA hearing. I'm on the Veterans Affairs Committee. And the Durham report had come out that day. And I looked at the Durham report, and lo and behold, that July 2016 meeting that was in the Situation Room at the White House, where they were cooking up this plot to develop a Russia collusion hoax and then weaponize DOJ and FBI against a private citizen running for president of the United States. Well, Dennis McDonough was then the chief of staff for Barack Obama. Yeah. DOJ and the Durham report said he was one of the participants in the meeting. And I decided during my questioning time, I would ask him if this was indeed accurate.
Because he's now the Secretary of Veterans Affairs.
That's right. He is in charge of looking after the health care and benefits of our nation's veterans.
And what did he say? We've got a minute left. What did he say, Senator?
He said he forgot. He said he forgot. So I thought, you know what? I don't like that people forget or they can't recall. So I'm going to send him a letter, ask him to clarify his participation. Was he in meetings with the FBI? Was he a part of cooking this up? Was he aware of what was being done to weaponize the federal government? You know, we've got a lot of veterans in this nation, and I would hate to think that the federal government was ever weaponized against these men and women who have served this country with distinction. And someone who has weaponized the government against a citizen ought not to be in charge of a federal agency being paid by the taxpayers of this country.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. We will dig deeper. Why is Biden, Secretary for Veterans Affairs, embroiled in the Russia hoax, former chief of staff for Obama, colluding with the FBI? Stay tuned, and we will tell you all as soon as we find out. Blackburn.senate.gov at Marsha Blackburn. God bless you, Senator. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We've only just begun. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay on this channel.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.